Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and today we're bringing you the next installment of our occasional feature called How We Work. On these special episodes, we feature interviews with real-life United Methodists digging into the practical details of how they do the work of church marketing and communications. It's my pleasure to welcome today's guest, Reverend Brian Johnson. Brian is the founding pastor of Citrus Church in Horizon West, a brand new suburb of Orlando, Florida. He's also a longtime good friend of mine. Brian, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we always like to begin these episodes by having our guests tell us a little bit about themselves, their ministry, and your context.
Well, sure. And you gave a great introduction to where we are. And we are a new United Methodist church. The unique thing about our area is that it's the whole area is brand new. Like we just bought a Walmart a few months back or about a year ago. Yeah. And so this entire area was orange groves for most of its history. And due to some freezes in the 80s, the landowner sold it off. So not only are we building a brand new church, but we're having restaurants built and homes built. So really this entire community is coming from the ground up. So it makes for a really unique ministry setting.
Absolutely. And can you remind us how long ago, or remind me how long ago you planted Citrus?
So we're a parachute church plant. So for those who aren't familiar, that means we were appointed here and we didn't have a sister or a parent church. We didn't have a team that we were going to meet and start with. It was just myself, my wife, and my two kids. And that was 4 years ago. And we started worship 2 years ago, officially.
That's awesome. And tell us a little bit about who is moving into this expanding brand new suburb of Orlando.
Yeah, so we are right in the backyard of Magic Kingdom. So unfortunately, we don't have it right now, but we used to get a fireworks show every night. So we do have a lot of people in the entertainment and hospitality industry. And this area really just reflects the growth of Orlando overall, like I'm sure your area does too, to the north of us, Dan. This area is a lot of young families with kids. So as a church, we're working really hard to offer, as we say it, we're trying to make church easy for families with young kids. And we felt like we had that, and then we had a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into that here in a little bit, but let's try to reflect on your whole 4 years, or maybe that better than we thought it was time from 6 months ago. But as a church planter, when you think about things like branding and messaging and starting social media channels, or even selecting which ones to have, which ones not to have, as a church planter, what are some of the pluses and what are some of the minuses of getting to start completely from scratch?
That's great. One of the things that was great was we could start from scratch. So in a sense, you know, you other pastors will understand this. You know, when you're appointed to a church or you arrive at a church, you kind of have to accept who they are and what they believe. You know, there's a lot of nuances even within United Methodism. And as the planter, I got to write the about page, you know, so obviously we're United Methodist Church and we embrace that. But I could speak to some of the specific things like our value of inclusion of all people and some particular things that were important to me. So in some ways, it made it a lot easier because it was already what I believed.
Right, right.
In terms of our branding, we really tried to spend a good bit of time not telling the community who we thought that they were or should be. But really leaning into the demographics of the area. And then just, I think the term is taking a windshield survey and just really driving around, trying to meet people. And I spent really the first year, maybe even year and a half, just trying to meet people and get an understanding for who this area is, who's living here, what are their needs and concerns. So our branding grew out of that. So the Citrus Church, it's obviously an old citrus grove. And the idea was that we felt like people really needed a refreshment from all the daily things that were a challenge pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And so our tagline of a refreshing invitation to Jesus was that idea. And then kind of our sub thing was we really wanted to focus on making church easy for families with young children, infants, toddlers, and preschoolers, because it's just easier to check out of church at that age and stage of life. And so we were trying to make it easier to check in.
Mm-hmm. And when I think about social media specifically, when you come to a church that is established, that theoretically already has some Facebook pages or, you know, a YouTube page or something like that, there are situations, particularly in campus ministry, where there's not only a turnover of pastors, but the actual like volunteers and staff mm-hmm. are usually students mm-hmm. who are gone every 2 to 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to like track down a previous employee just to even get the passwords. but sometimes you get to a church and there's like years of content on there. When you're starting from scratch, was social media something that you started when you had zero people and you saw it as a chance to put content out into the community? Or did you try to get to know people first and then bring the social media in later so that when people get to your page, it doesn't say like zero followers? Like, what's the strategy behind starting fresh with social media?
It was really both and. I began just on day one trying to meet people. And on day one, I had an idea of what we might call it, that it would be something related to like an orange. And my initial thought mm-hmm. was that orange church, because I could get at that orange church.
yeah.
That didn't pan out for a couple of different reasons. What I did in the beginning was, once we identified the branding, I'd already started to meet a few people in the community. But to build legitimacy, I felt like we needed a basic website, basic branding, basic Facebook, Instagram. You know, and we did identify what channels do people in this area actually use.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, my first followers were obviously myself, my wife, my family, her family, and everybody from my previous church that was in Ormond Beach.
Yeah. I think I was one of them too. That's I was probably on there.
And basically anybody I could ask to join it. So, you know, that skews the statistics of who is a part of it and whatnot, but it at least gave a sense that there were more than just the person who created it following it. So that helped.
Right. Yeah. When you think about church communications in general, what is kind of your approach or philosophy? Is it a ministry of itself? Is it a support to your ministry? Are they two separate channels? Like, how do you approach church communication?
Very carefully. I like many people, just kind of fell into this. I mean, I think of you as someone who's really done the expert research, and I look to you for those answers a lot of times.
Thanks.
For us, our philosophy for social media and for what we do is, it was really a primary way to connect. For us, there was just a lot of, most of the areas around here, they're not necessarily gated, but you can't just walk up to someone's house. And because of the newness of the area, you can't knock on someone's door and you can't just hang out. We didn't even have a Starbucks when I moved here. There was no community gathering spaces. So to me, it wasn't a promotional tool. It wasn't about like us promoting ourselves. It was a way where we could become a part of the conversation that was happening in the community. And so honestly, a lot of that happened with my own, in terms of like profile, and a lot of that happened with my personal Facebook and my personal Instagram becoming a part of the local Facebook groups and just engaging, not telling them what I thought or what we were doing, but learning what was important to them. And so I hope that like on our Facebook page, I mean, nowadays it's a lot about what we're doing. But when it's really working well, what I like to do is highlight the other new businesses and the other things that are happening in the community. And hey, this group is putting on this event. It's not our event, but this is really important. So I try to see it as a part of what makes this community grow beyond just our church.
And I think that's a great approach. And if you could speak a little bit more to it or give us an example of some of the conversations or ways that, you know, conversations you would join or ways that you would jump in when it's in these local Facebook groups. Because I think a lot of times we think, oh, well, we need to find, you know, whatever the local hashtag is and then use that on our church's Instagram profile. But what you're saying is like you as Brian, who is also the pastor of Citrus, joined a group of other people who live in the area and built relationships that way rather than trying to bring people to your page or profile.
100%. I mean, most of our growth in the early days and even now is because people hear about us on those Facebook groups, because there's not a lot of in-person promotion kind of stuff, even before the pandemic. So I would join those groups. And one of the things I did, a tangible example that worked really well for us, was the area is called Horizon West, as you said. And there's just some unique things about it, like any community. So I would do a series called Finding God in Horizon West when I first moved here. And I just grabbed my little video camera. It was a little better than an iPhone. And I would write up these little scripts. And I even had like a little teleprompter I put on it because I was so worried about making it perfect. And I would just go to these weird places that we had around the area. For example, they've made this little fish sculpture in the middle of one of our shopping plazas. They tried to theme the shopping plaza around like sea life. And I just talked about the story of Jonah and the whale, like 90 seconds or less, and about how stories in the Bible can be unbelievable, But, you know, we serve a God who's able to do more than we could ever imagine. And just a, it was kind of like a mini devotional. And then I would share those through our own Facebook page. But one of the big common things was they were building a Wendy's in that shopping plaza. And I don't know if people can appreciate this. That was our first fast food restaurant in this area. So people were posting about it like, oh, the Wendy's is going up. And have you seen that fish thing in the parking lot? So this was probably a little bit more invasive, but I would post, I would link my video that was on the on YouTube into the comments and just say, here's another thought about the fish. And I don't know, in my head, it was some way of helping people to say, there's ordinary things in your life and in your neighborhood, but God is at work in these places. Mm. And so I did a whole series around some of the more kind of physical features of our area, like a neighborhood's entrance or a sign that they had, or and that had been one of our the most popular ways that we introduced ourselves to the community was the church that was doing videos around town. And it also helped to build some local support. So the community leaders in the area loved it because we were helping to get the word out about what this neighborhood and this community are all about.
That's awesome. And that actually, so this podcast is a sandbox for all of us. And so actually an idea that I've had that I have never pulled the trigger on is like starting a podcast series where you interview local people like business owners or people on the school board or the city council and just get to know them. And it's not, you know, it doesn't end with, so join us at church, but you know, it's like whatever church presents this town or something, you know, like you can have your church name and branding on the cover page or something like that. And it's just a way of showing that you like, it would be a really great way to show that you actually care about your town and the people that live there.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, everyone listening, I'm sure knows this. Churches are just known for building a building and thinking about what happens inside. And it, I've served two appointments before this. I've gotten stuck in that mindset. I still do. Mm-hmm. And I think when Citrus Church is really doing it well, we are thinking more about how we build this community well. I mean, from my mind, it's not about the developers are worrying about building houses. The others are worried about building the infrastructure and that kind of thing. But I'm thinking like, how do we build the soul of the community? And how do we make sure that this community from the start thinks about justice and inclusion? And how do we create something better? You know, those are lofty ideals. But in my mind, I love your idea, Dan, because businesses are always looking for ways to talk about it. And there's always a way, as Wesleyans, we believe that God's at work. So
right.
Some of my Finding God in Horizon West series were one of the people who was good to us early on has a co-working space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did one of them there. And I just talked about how God, I talked about the Trinity in their co-working space and how the Trinity of God works together in these collaborative ways, you know?
Yeah.
It benefited us. They shared it on their page. And it was one of those things where we each helped each other.
Yeah.
The people who were part of it, I'd like to think were able to get a little bit better insight. And maybe they just saw, wow, I didn't know my work pointed to God in that way.
Yeah.
So, but any of us could do that. We could go out into our neighborhood and just find things that we think are unique and point to God.
Absolutely. And there are lots of tools for, I mean, like you say, you could use your iPhone and record things if you're doing video. And there are lots of cheap or free ways to record podcasts nowadays. And particularly if you're in an area where people are still stuck at home, it may be easier to line some folks up for interviews and just block out a couple days and knock a bunch out. And you've got, you know, a handful of things to share. But we are recording this in the late summer, early fall of 2020, and we are still in the midst of the pandemic to different degrees in different places. But you and I are both in Florida. Our state is open and has been open. We've just gotten through, we're on the tail end of a spike. And I don't know if y'all are back to worshiping in person. We are not yet, but we're looking at a slow reopen here fairly soon. Can you give us an overview of what this experience has been like for you and your church kind of in general?
Thanks. Just to be honest, like, and you know this because it's what I responded when you reached out and asked if I'd be willing to do this. I thought, I think I said, I don't have anything to share. I don't know what we're doing that's working or not working, but I didn't cry today. And that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, this has been one of the hardest seasons ever. And I know it is for everybody because we have made so many plans and so many plans have fallen apart. And I'm at the point now where I don't want to make any more plans.
Yeah.
Because I'm just tired of putting a lot of energy and effort into thinking and planning, whether it's online or in person, and just having the bottom fall out again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when your question to me got me trying to think about, okay, so is there anything that we're doing that's working? And I appreciate that. So if I can offer my journey and how I got to this podcast, one of the scriptures that has always been foundational for us as a church comes from Isaiah 43:18. And it's the idea that where it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." And I love that when we moved here, because I thought God's doing a new thing in this area. And recently, the passage right before that says, "Don't think about the old things and don't really dwell on the past." And one of my defaults right now has been, okay, what did we used to do that worked? And can I just do that again? Because I know what to do.
Yeah.
And I felt like God was speaking to me to say, you know, looking backwards isn't going to take me forwards. Maybe it will for others, but for us at our church, that wasn't going to be the thing. So honestly, I think the first and most helpful thing I did was what you did, Dan, and just asked me to think about what's working.
Mm.
For me, it was looking at the whiteboard and my projects and saying, where are we actually seeing fruit? And I shared with our staff, and I say staff, and that sounds kind of funny because we don't actually have a staff. But we do have a worship leader, and we do have someone helping out in children's ministry. And I told them, I was like, I gave them permission to say, we're all doing a lot of stuff. Let's agree that we can let go of some things that are not bearing fruit in this season. Maybe we pull it up again. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't. And I think that was really freeing for them and for me.
Yeah.
The other thing so that's where I would start at, was just assessing what is working and what is not.
Mm.
One of the things I found that is working is, I mean, Dan, to be honest with you, like, I'm exhausted creatively.
Mm.
For me, I have so much fun thinking of a sermon series and doing the graphics and laying out the backgrounds. You know, that was so much fun. And I have nothing. I have no ideas.
Yeah.
Something that I've found really helpful is UM Discipleship puts out these sermon series. And in the past, I've always been like, meh, I've got an idea that I want to run with. And it took me a little while to get to this point, but I'm using, this is the first one I'm doing. I'm almost through this one. I'm going to use their next one too. I'm using the sermon series that they put out because it gives me some sermon starters. It gives me a children's lesson. It gives me some liturgy pieces. And for once, I'm not coming up with it on my own.
Yeah.
That has been refreshing to me because it's like someone else is doing the creative lifting that I just can't right now.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, you know, I'm kind of hijacking the podcast a little bit. It's called How We Work. And today that'll be you and me. Too, and I hope by both you and I confessing this that, you know, our listeners, whether they are also pastors doing this work or whether they're the communications folks, I have a communications person on my staff. You know, I've got some staff members who are significantly less busy than normal. Mm. Like her job tripled, you know, once everything moved online. And so I want to confess to my creative exhaustion, because hopefully you that are listening, if you are feeling that, I want you to know that you are not alone, that you are not a failure, that there are lots of other people who feel this way, particularly after this season. And I don't know if you feel this way, Brian, we've switched our setup, but I'm still preaching to a camera. You know, for 4 months, I was literally preaching to the back of my cell phone 5 feet away. Mm. And I can't, even if it's a bad sermon, I don't know it's a bad sermon, you know, because I can't read body language, or I can't see the person that fell asleep, or I can't see the person crossing their arms. And when you're getting no feedback, at least for me, it was hard. It was so hard. And you're right. I am also looking for some sermon material just to take that creative decision off my plate, you know, in hopes of recharging or being able to make better decisions in other areas. Yeah, it's tough.
It is. So I hope if someone else gets that permission to feel like, I mean, it took me long. It felt like I was cheating. You know, everything we've been taught in seminary was kind of against that. But I mean, UM Discipleship, I feel like, has some really great resources. Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I wasn't coming up with anything better. So I went ahead and kind of bit the bullet, and I'm using what they have. And I've already picked out the study that Adam Hamilton is doing for Advent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to give my brain a break.
Mm.
And I can still make some graphics. And I didn't love, they had great graphics, but I wanted to edit them down a little bit. So
sure.
It gave me a chance to do the things that I wanted to, but to kind of take a break.
Yeah. So talking about the transition online, what was were you all recording anything pre-pandemic? Like, was your setup the same? There just weren't people in the room? Or did you, like me, have to scramble on a Friday afternoon when you suddenly decided, okay, we're going to take a break, which at the time we thought was like 2 weeks. But I mean, I literally remember the Friday afternoon when like the SEC basketball tournament got canceled and the NBA suspended. And then our local school district said, we're leaving for spring break. break, but we want you to stay home an extra week. And it was like literally Friday at dinner, I'm texting my staff saying, all right, we're stopping. We need to figure this out in a day and a half. Like, what was that transition like for you?
About the same, because we were on spring break also. And we were thinking like, wow, 2 weeks of spring break. This is going to be wonderful. I mean, spring break is like still going, right?
Yeah.
So, and because of that, we were actually on vacation. So I was, I had a guest speaker lined up the week that we worship at a movie theater. Mm-hmm. So we got word that the movie theater was closing. So I canceled our guest speaker and I recorded, I think it may have been the day we had to leave. I sat at my kitchen table like you with my iPhone and recorded an 8-minute devotional thought that we posted live for Sunday morning, you know?
Yeah.
And then my biggest challenge was that we were gone for a week on vacation because where we were going was still safe. And
right.
We thought it was just an extended spring break back then, you remember?
Yeah.
And we got to the end of vacation and I realized like, we've got to do this online next week and I don't have a clue. So we were not recording ahead of time. We had thought about it, but for what we were doing, it just didn't make a lot of sense at that time. So we had to put it together from scratch and we were not built or designed for that. So we're also a portable church.
Yeah.
So one of our challenges was like, where do we set up? Mm-hmm. Where can we get an internet connection? One of the good pieces for us was that we do have an office space that we use.
Yeah.
So we do have a business line internet connection, which is good.
Yeah.
And we do have a place where we can set up a studio. So in some ways, the transition has meant it you know, our 1 hour worship service with setup and pack up is now 2 hours versus 5 hours
right,
before.
Right, right.
But there's that weird moment when you finish the recording and you close it and it's just you by yourself alone.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Yeah. Well, and even us, like my staff took over recording announcements. And so we had announcement videos. We traditionally had a children's moment. And so they started mm-hmm. video recording them. So we'd be doing the service. But then during these things that I would normally sit down in the congregation, either I would do or I would sit down in the congregation and watch. And it was still this worshipful environment. Suddenly we were cutting to video. And it almost felt like a newscaster, you know, when you like throw it out to the field reporter. It just like it didn't feel like worship. It just felt like everything stopped. And and then we even fell into like we would chit chat while the video was playing, like either going over here's what's later, or we would pick up some conversation we had, and it just totally did not feel like worship anymore. And I know particularly for churches that were pre-recording and assembling worship, that felt even less like it because you weren't going through it all in one swoop, right? You know, like you would have the band record one day, you might do the sermon the other day. Now I have to say, one of the silver linings to all this are all the pastor sermon filming bloopers, like, you know, cameras blowing over or sirens going by. All those are hilarious. But can you give us a window, as much as you know off the top of your head, can you talk to us a little bit about the actual tech that you use? I would imagine most of our listeners, you know, have figured out some version of streaming by now, but maybe they're looking for other options. What is the tech that you've used? And then maybe a similar question is, if you had to start fresh knowing what you know now, what might you do different?
That's a good question. So I was on the very cautious side, and a lot of our Florida conference really made a big deal about singing in public is a super spreader, you know, the virus.
Right.
And our office space is it's a good size, but we're all in here together. And so we made a call very early on that our worship leader couldn't be in the same room where it happens. You know? Uh-huh. So, and we're still doing this, and I don't know if it's good or not, but it works for what we're doing. We're actually still, I don't know what to call it, like actual live, like we're not pre-recording.
Right. Yeah, we are too.
Okay. And so what we do is I'm in the studio in the office space, and my worship leader Skypes in and does the music from his. So he's not pre-recording either. And we both agree. He'd say the same thing. It's not the best quality.
Mm, okay.
But the interesting feedback from our people is it means more to them because they know that he's doing that as they're watching him, even though they're separate. I think one of the reasons that what we're doing works is because it's like people know that we're actually here doing this.
Yeah.
And I would love to pre-record, and I would love to get him in there and pre-record and do some of those cool cut videos, like where we get some of our, because like our background singers and our other singers, they're not a part of it right now.
Right.
So what we do, that's one of the benefits of being a portable church, is we still have our portable gear. So we use Ecamm Live, which has been a wonderful tool because it brings him in on Skype and we can do the side-by-side screens really easy.
Yeah.
We have ProPresenter 7, which is what we're already using. And the upgrade from 6 to 7 came at just the right time for us.
Yeah.
So we through Ecamm, it just, without a lot of fancy keys and stuff like that, it's able to just pop the lyrics over. So as he is leading the song, I'm on my end cueing the lyric transition.
All right. So you're running Pro Presenter as the pastor off screen. That's cool.
Yes. So I am both producer and preacher of this setup. And then we've still got like our basic handheld camera. I'm trying to find a better one, but it's like a $120 camera that we had on hand. And it's not great, honestly. And then that's pretty much I've added a couple of things like a video switcher for when we, basically what we're doing now is trying to take the basic setup we have and prepare it, because when we can go back in person, we're just not, like most people, we're not going to go back and not live stream.
Right.
And a lot of people won't be comfortable. So we've added some things like a video switcher and some of those things, but we already had really great microphones because we have the same microphone, the same wireless headsets we use on Sunday morning.
Yeah. Do you know what video switcher you use?
Yeah, we use a Blackmagic A10 Mini.
Yes. Okay, great.
Those words that meant nothing to me.
Yeah, I was telling someone the other day, I am now on YouTube watching tutorial videos from video game streamers on how they do their stuff on Twitch. And so like my YouTube recommendations now are like completely skewed because I've been spending all this time learning how to use ProPresenter and OBS and Twitch and all of these things.
Exactly.
So yeah, we have a similar setup. And like I said, for the first like 4 or 5 months of this, we were using my laptop. I have a MacBook Pro. And we were using my cell phone and my iPad plugged in with USB to Lightning cables. And each of them were running an iOS app called OBS Camera that allowed you to use those as live cameras in OBS, which if you're someone who doesn't know what that is, that's a free open source live streaming program. Mm-hmm. And what's great about it is it's kind of like, it's almost like Photoshop in that you can layer a bunch of things on top of one another. So you can bring in lyrics and you can have logos and graphics and you can do a ton of stuff that, you know, all these gamers and things are doing, but we just had it straight. So we did have a tech person. They're able to cut between the two cameras. And then thank goodness I own my own podcasting equipment, because we were then running through my Focusrite audio input to get that into the laptop. Because our challenge was we were recording in our sanctuary, but our soundboard is in the back of the room and we didn't have a camera that could actually reach the front of the room, like in, you know, with any sort sense of intimacy or any sense of closeness. And so it's like either we set up front and we have to have a completely, totally new setting that uses none of our current equipment, or we set up in the back and then you can't see any of our facial expressions and we look really small and all these things. So we went with this independent setup, but now we have a pan, tilt, and zoom camera and just one of those right now, we're trying to figure out what a second camera can be. And then that is running into ProPresenter, running through an A10 Mini into OBS and ProPresenter 7. So we have a similar setup. So the benefit now is we have a camera that can zoom from the back of the room, and then that facilitates eventually live streaming when people return, because we're not going to have people in the congregation and I'm preaching to a cell phone on a tripod, you know, 5 feet in front of my face. So hopefully some of that tech stuff made sense to those of you who are listening. And if you have a setup right now that's working great, please email us podcast@umcom.org. If you have a setup that is not working and you are frustrated and you need recommendations, hopefully some of the things we've mentioned are things you can Google and look into.
Yeah.
When you think about both worship, and I know that the trend sort of nationwide, not necessarily in United Methodism, but some of the research Barna did, was that church engagement exponentially increased until Easter, and then it cratered. And, you know, which is sad because that's now, you know, 3 months ago, right? May, June, July, even longer than that, May, June, July, August. It's like 5 months ago. So initially there was this, oh, you know, we really need church. The world is crazy. We haven't been in church. New people are trying, you know, coming to church to find answers. And we get to Easter and then it just died. Are you finding, and we didn't necessarily have the same cratering, but I found, especially as the summer has gone on, are you finding your folks have screen fatigue, digital fatigue, Zoom burnout, like all these things, no matter what it is, like for worship, but also we had our youth group was meeting, like we had great youth engagement until about, you know, mid-July. And then they were like, we're done.
Yeah. No, we've seen the opposite. Like we have like 10 new people every week join the stream.
Oh, that's so awesome.
No, I'm kidding. Not at all.
You got me.
No, like we experienced the same, like a sharp increase. And we're like, holy cow, this is like triple and quadruple, like what we see in person, you know? And then like the bottom just dropped out more and more. There was like a point I tell my wife, like, I don't know, like, I'm glad you're watching, because with Ecamm, it'll tell you how many viewers you have. And we're just streaming to Facebook Live.
Right.
I could go into why, but so we can see kind of exactly how many are viewing.
Right.
And so I was afraid at some point it would just be like a one on there, because I knew that my wife was watching, you know?
Yeah.
But no, we've really bottomed out we're at least consistently at the bottom. What we have found is that anybody who had a family with young kids, mm-hmm. it's just too much.
Yeah.
The kids don't want to watch the sermon thing. We did a kids moment. We tried to make it super engaging. We've tried a bunch of stuff. So all of our families with kids have pretty much checked out from that. Mm. I mean, they're still with us. They're still, but they just can't, you know?
Right.
And so it's primarily those who don't have a young child at home who are able to kind of like sit down and make it their Sunday thing. And that's who we had. And so I'm thankful for that. And it's great, but it's really about a third of our church. Mm-hmm. And like many, we've tried a bunch of things, and we're trying something new this week of kind of sending a children's ministry box home that has a lot less digital stuff and more of like family sit at the dining room table and kind of do some fun activities together.
Yeah.
I hope it works, but it could just be the next thing that doesn't that we've tried.
Hey, well, thanks for being brave and sharing that. And I know, like, even with school restarting, like, it's even worse, just because now students are on screen all day long.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because they're on their screens all the time. Like, it's not, at least from what I've noticed, it's not that they're using social media or texting or watching YouTube less, but this idea of like watching something that, you know, is maybe like what adults think they want to see what adults think they should be watching rather than the stuff that they're choosing. But I know that's a challenge everywhere. Yeah. Well, let's try to maybe pull us out of the pandemic despair here with a couple final questions.
Okay.
What type of content inspires you? What churches, businesses, or brands do you follow and look to as people either that you would want to emulate, or you say like they're doing it really good? Like, that wouldn't work for us, but that really inspires me. Mm.
One of the best connections I've had is another church plant. It's kind of one of our sisters. They started the same time we did. They're United Methodist Church. They're in Tampa, Horizon Church. Mm. Erica and Chris Allen, and we're basically doing the same format of everything. So it's just been, I send him my stuff and he sends me his stuff, and we just kind of go back and forth on each other's projects and ideas. And I think that has been the most helpful, because I just get overwhelmed. I mean, even the large churches in Orlando that are Methodist, you know, it's hard for me to do that, because I'm the kind of person, I look and I think, we can't do that, but I want to offer that to our people, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. So I have to be very careful who I look to, because it's easy for me to get like super depressed.
Yeah.
I took us down the spiral again. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
So what I found is I'm trying to look a little bit more locally, and this is kind of part of my what's working, what's not. What is working is that even though people aren't watching, they're still a part of our church. And my wife pointed this out to me and someone else, just to say, like, I feel comfortable right now going and meeting someone at Starbucks outside for coffee.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
My first one will be next week. And there's a few people who feel that way too. And she suggested, why don't you just try reconnecting with people? So instead of, I spent a lot of the quarantine trying to figure out the best ways to do it. And like, Dan, I'll go down a rabbit hole on a camera reading specs.
Right.
And
right.
One of the ways that when I can't control things, I turn to graphic design and to making what we have better.
Yep.
And I can go down a rabbit hole on our website and on Planning Center and all. And like at the end of the day, like, yeah, it looks better and it's sharper, but I don't think I've really connected with anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to push myself to just try to get back to connecting with people. If we're not comfortable, I'm going to try just some Zoom calls, one-on-one, just 10 minutes or so with some people in our church, and just try to make some of the connections that I think I'm missing and they're missing.
That's great. That's a really encouraging word. I have the same bad habits. There were a couple of weeks there in late July, early August, where I spent all day, every day during the week, like working on our website. And then I would get to Saturday night and my sermon wouldn't be done. And I'd still be writing my sermon Saturday night or Sunday morning just because I was just so dejected or felt so disconnected from the ministry side of things. And I joke with my communications person. I said, you have the hardest job in the church because you have the job the pastor wishes he had.
You're good at that stuff. So
that's a good encouraging word. And even if you're, again, if you're not a pastor, if you are the social media person and you are just running out of ideas of what graphic to post, or you're posting things and people aren't commenting, like, use this as an encouragement to say, like, even if you're not the pastor, you still can connect with and meet with and talk with the people in your congregation. Hopefully you're in a small group or a Sunday school class or something like that. Hopefully you're connecting with them. Or if you're not, just get maybe a list from the church office of some folks that you can give a call to. Because number one, congregation members will always love getting a call from a church volunteer, staff person, or leader, no matter what. They will always value a call. And then number two, you know, you will get direct feedback and interaction that you maybe don't get when you post something on Facebook and check every 20 minutes to see, has this been shared? Has this been commented on? That's a really encouraging word, Brian. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Here's another question go ahead.
Well, I had another thing that I tried today too. And the apostle Brady Shearer of Pro Church Nation.
Yes.
Put out like some newsletter tips. And I just, again, because I have no creativity, I just did what they did for our newsletter this week. And it was basically a newsletter that just said plain text, no pictures, no formatting, basically reply back to me with some good news. Where have you seen God at work? What's something that's going good? You know, and then just hit reply and let me know. And then I just shared like a paragraph of my own story of something good. That went out this morning and I've gotten more positive engagement with people that I know are still with us, but we just haven't talked.
Yeah.
Like I think I've got already 7 email replies of people sharing how they're seeing God work in their life from our church. And like, I'm blown away. I mean, obviously Brady Shearer always gets everything right somehow, but it affirmed to me again that maybe a communications person, it's just another way where like people didn't need to know we're launching small groups this week. I think they just needed a vehicle to share what God's doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brady would be a great guy to have on the podcast. One of the things actually that I find about him is that he has no problem trying something new and pulling a plug on it if it doesn't work. You know, I've been subscribed to their podcast for probably 5 or 6 years. And I just saw today that they are introducing like the 6th iteration of it. You know, like it started as hour-long interviews like everyone else does. And then it moved to daily, and then it moved to weekly, and then it moved to super practical. And then it moved to like a 10-minute format. And now they're on like their 6th or 7th format. Like they just try it. And while it's working, that's what they do. And when it stops working, they pull the plug on it, they take a break, they rethink it, and then they start it again. Like that's much much easier when you are the business owner. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it's easier if you're a church planter and there's a little bit less institutional memory or inertia. Mm-hmm. But if you're a communications person, like try stuff for a while and give it enough time to see if it's resonating, but like don't be afraid to pull the plug. So one of our questions that we like to ask towards the end is, if you had $100 to invest in outreach, what would you do with it?
For us and for our community, a lot of us students are back in school online, but we still have a lot of teachers who are kind of going to the schools every morning. And I'm not sure what the gift would be because 100 is not a lot. But like, I don't necessarily need it to benefit us, but I really wish I thought of this ahead of time. But on the first day of school, I wish we'd gone out there and just with $100 made some signs and just stuff like, you're awesome, you're a rock star, thank you for what you're doing. And just stood in front of the schools on the first day that teachers were back in person.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
Just because like, I don't know, I guess I would use, I want to find a way to celebrate the people who I feel like are just really putting themselves out there in this season, because I admire that.
Yeah, absolutely. And our final question, are there any books, podcasts, or other resources that you might recommend to our listeners?
For me, I've needed some escape. So my go-to podcasts have shifted from the usual kind of how-tos and helps to NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
That's a great
because
show.
Because I find we went around the kitchen table and asked the kids, you know, what was something that made you laugh today? And one day I said, like, I didn't laugh at all today. So I realized I need more joy and kind of laughter as I'm working by myself. So that's helpful to me.
That's awesome. And if our listeners want to reach out and say hi or ask a question or just follow your work and the work of Citrus Church, what's the best way for them to do that?
On all the platforms except Twitter, we are at Citrus Church or at Rev Johnson Brian.
Awesome.
And that's Brian with an I the correct way.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for being on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you all for doing this and for what you're doing. Appreciate it too.
And now, listeners, we want your help in spotlighting the ministries and church communications professionals and volunteers across our denomination who are making a difference in their communities. Who do you want to hear from and what should we ask them? You can email us at podcast@umcom.org. You can also, of course, use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We always love hearing from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening to us on right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.